Across the entire Chondax volume, the minds of Fleet Psykers were assaulted in an instant by an unholy tide of voices from beyond. The overall effect was devastating. It was as if a psychic dam had ruptured, flooding brains that had lain in quietude for years with overwhelming quantities of memetic information. Whole days passed in utter confusion. The white scars, it was clear that something, or some great quantity of somethings, had occurred. Yet they had no means of comprehending its nature. Most ships were simply struggling to keep their astropaths sane, or even alive. Painfully, slowly, the information was parsed out and translated. The first few communications to be finally decrypted did nothing to allay the worries of the Khagan and his inner circle. They were deeply contradictory, yes, but all seemed to speak of a civil war having engulfed the Imperium. Legion had turned upon Legion in cold, murderous betrayal. Brother had slain brother, and the galaxy itself was aflame. There appeared to be no hope of a clear picture. Each message was contradicted in details by at least a half dozen others. None amongst the command echelon of the White Scars, those privy to the information, could even tell who was fighting who was responsible, or what the aims of the conflict truly were. In light of the chaotic confusion, Jagatai made his fateful decision. No response from the White Scars was to be given to any of these petitions. It was a deeply uncharacteristic decision. The Khagan was famously a decisive individual. For all he courted a diversity of opinions, his decision-making process was typically swift. He never balked from making calls many would have considered overwhelmingly paralyzing. It is at the same time understandable, and indeed deeply human. The Khagan had been alone, separated from his brothers and the Imperium both for nearly 7 years. The situation he found himself cast into was wholly unprecedented. None could tell him what of these missives was fact or fiction, cold truth or grandiose lie, who was friend and who was foe. One pattern clearly vexed him deeply. It was clear that the sides drawn in this conflict centered on two parties, the War Master Horus and the Emperor. It is a fact often ill acknowledged by scholarship that, at this specific point in history, Jagatai Khan knew not to whom his loyalties lay. As their gene sire wrestled with his conscience, torn between loyalty to a brother he held dear and a father who was distant at best, the Noyan Khans of the White Scars issued orders to withdraw all combat assets into the orbit of Chondax Prime with all possible haste. In the tumult of this rapid, frenetic retreat, and the calamitous news from without that was, even now, spreading throughout the Legion like fire upon the plains, it went unnoticed that several patrols and smaller detachments simply never responded to their orders. This, in and of itself, was not wholly unknown to the White Scars. Often an order would be received, but never acknowledged. The Brotherhood, who had heard it, knowing whomever had sent it, was assured of their action upon it. Given the circumstances, however, the quantity of such gaps in strategic communications should have been a dire portent indeed. It presaged the Alpha Legion's first open actions. As the Khagan hummed and hawed across the Chondax system, his sons began to feel the teeth of the Hydra. The first assaults took place at the very edges of the volume, where sundry squadrons of a massive Alpha Legion fleet that had lain in wait for years now fell upon isolated White Scar patrols. Based on the number of 5th Legion starships that did not respond to Legion's redeployment orders, later in the war, listed as missing, it can only be estimated that the Alpha Legion claimed in its kill tally as many as 30 ships in their opening maneuvers alone. Amongst these, in many cases simply forgotten engagements, is the ambush of the patrol group under the command of Naran Tenrai Khan, aboard the cruiser Eagle's Claws. Naran's squadron was formed of 4 light cruisers, the Claws, the Hawkstar, the Seren Grell, and the Narsuk. It was accompanied by a small destroyer group, standard practice for the picket fleets of the White Scars that had been deployed to the furthest reaches of the Chondak system in the closing days of the cleansing campaign. Detecting a series of unusual signals from within the innermost sectors of the system, where the vast orbits and solar winds of the stars Chondax Alpha Prime and Chondax Alpha Secundus were known to obscure AllSpec scans, Naran Tenrai Khan's squadron moved to explore, expecting to find little more than a ramshackle orcish flotilla. Instead, they discovered a sole White Scars cruiser adrift in one of the system's many asteroid fields. The ship was quickly identified as the Dark Moon, logged as lost with all hands during the early years of the campaign in what had been presumed to be a Xenos ambush. With no reason at all to suspect anything amiss, the White Scars flotilla moved in to provide aid, or at least recovery, for their apparently lost brethren. As a lighter craft hove to, preparing gunship landers, it became clear that the Dark Moon was little more than a gutted hulk. The captains of these vessels had little chance to report it to their superiors, however. The cruiser simply detonated. The ship's reactor, set to overload, tore through the patrol group, expanding rapidly and violently, and leaving the Narsuk utterly crippled, and the Eagle's Claws with multiple hull breaches and fires raging across its decks. At the Dark Moon's moment of explosion, 3 Alpha Legion heavy cruisers slunk from cover in the debris field, trailing Chondax Alpha Secundus, hidden as they had been within the radiation squalls, and opened fire on the reeling White Scar's ships. The Hawkstar and the Seren Grell sprang forward with a rapid burst of acceleration to engage the heavy cruisers at close range, a quick thinking and heroic action intended to shield their stricken brethren from the punitive fire the much heavier vessels were laying down. Their high-speed bombardment pass was ineffectual, doing nothing to alter the objective of the 20th Legion, and leaving, in fact, the Seren Grell trailing a debris field of its own after it suffered from a reprisal bombardment. The White Scar's destroyers, coming in hot at the heels, fared little better. Their torpedo strikes inflicted not insignificant damage on the lead heavy cruiser, but cost them all their very existences. Concentrated fire from the Alpha Legion's forward batteries shredded them all into charred husks. A series of broadsides was rapidly followed, ignoring wholly the interdicting destroyers in favor of their wounded kin. The Eagle's Claws bore the brunt of the salvo, wounding it further, while the crippled Narsuk came under a heavy boarding action. The Hawkstar mounted a spirited defense, but could do little but watch, as a Seren Grell, having managed to come about at a speed few other legions could ever have managed, rammed the lead Alpha Legion starship upon its prow, crippling but one of their attackers with a punitive, vengeful action. The Hawkstar was forced to disengage, leaving its squadron mates to the mercy of the 2 remaining Alpha Legion starships, attempting to lose the 20th in a desperate dive into the corona of Chondax Alpha Secundus. The Alpha Legion's first ground targets were White Scar's detachments operating in the system's outlying planets. In these reaches of the volume, the sheer size of the Chondak system created significant lag, often of several hours, in any conventional Vox transmissions. This allowed the 20th to deny their cousins any ability to call for reinforcements, or communicate their situation in any capacity to the rest of the 5th Legion. The assaults were carefully selected and maliciously accomplished. Cruel ambushes from positions of total superiority, as was the Alpha Legion's desired approach. In almost every case, the White Scars that came under assault were either crushed within a few hours or harried to the point they were unable to transmit any distress calls or extract themselves from the battle, pinned in place by the vicious operatives of the 20th Legion. The attacking traitors were scrupulous as ever in their choice of targets. Only units superlatively isolated from any Loyalist support and a suitable distance from the main Legion muster at Chondax Prime were attacked. This had the effect of limiting the options the White Scars possessed to either a brutally quick and hastily forgotten death, or the type of futile heroics that were wholly the antithesis of the 5th Legion's own doctrine. Many detachments, usually those of a single brotherhood or less in size, simply vanished. Scattered stories from survivors or intercepted data blurts speak to the Alpha Legion cunningly descending into wholly dishonorable actions. The Seraphine Guard Auxilia on Hercon were approached by legionnaires in the colors and heraldry of the White Scars, only to have their supposed allies open fire on them, massacring two whole centuries of the regiment. This false flag operation was repeated several times, usually against the Imperial Auxilia. The Alpha Legion had, over years, been intercepting frequent transmissions between baseline human units, complaining about the inscrutability of the White Scar's means of identifying each other. And now, they were putting it to wicked effect. In the jungles of Ephihelicon, the discipline of the Saturnine Rams' Solar Auxilia was less easily usurped, but they still failed to ultimately open fire on approaching White Scar's Astartes, despite these intruders failing every single challenge code prompt. Those that escaped frantically voxed their regiment, claiming the Scars had turned upon them, unaware of the greater context of the unfolding heresy galaxy-wide. Even amongst the White Scars themselves, false pretenses bore wicked fruit. On Ira Minor, the Brotherhood of the Black Axe was hailed by an Alpha Legion headhunter's force. Surprised to find a fellow Astartes Legion operating in their volume, but having no reasons to suspect anything, the Brotherhood permitted their cousins entry into their camp, where the Alpha Legion quickly opened fire. Only by the valiant efforts of Sengur Khan, who mounted a suicidal counterattack against these traitors, were any of the brothers of the Black Axe able to escape. Their flight bought by the veterans who joined Sengur Khan in his charge. The Alpha Legion had total surprise and nearly a decade of intelligence gathering on their side, and they were using both to their fullest capacity. Long ago, the 20th had deciphered many of the White Scar's combat cants and code screens, in addition to thoroughly breaking comms through technological means and introducing data gin into the Legion's networks. Scars were also operating at the end of 7 years of open warfare, which had taken its own toll. According to records, the White Scars had lost perhaps 9% of their overall number. Approximately 6,000 legionnaires killed as outright casualties, and a further 15% in need of Medicaid services that had rendered them largely ineffective in combat. It is estimated that 16,500 legionnaires of the 5th Legion could be deemed combat non-effective at the moment the Alpha Legion attacked. The various auxilia regiments had suffered comparatively light casualties, as they had typically been limited to garrison duties and lighter combat operations. But as the early years of the heresy has grimly shown time and time again, the usage of auxilia against Astartes was rarely one that paid dividends for the former. It had been the Alpha Legion's explicit purpose to manipulate the unsuspecting White Scars into fractional subdivisions of their overall strength. Only on the central worlds of Chondax Prime, Kren, and Shaln was the Legion gathered in any considerable amount, with almost four complete hordes present on those worlds. No matter their location, however, all combat assets of the Imperial Purgation Force were beginning to show signs of munitions and supply exhaustion. It had, after all, been 7 years of fighting with no outside Imperial resupply. This had not been an issue for the Primarch or the Legion's command echelon. By all rights, the fighting in the Chondax system was clearly drawing to a close, and there was no need for any special concern that bullet stockpiles would not last until it did. In short, the White Scars were scattered, isolated, and short on ammunition at the precise moment the Alpha Legion emerged. The one exception to this was their fleet. Having engaged Orc craft decisively for the past few years, they were largely undamaged and sitting upon plentiful munitions reserves. All the Khagan was to hear from survivors fleeing these Alpha Legion ambushes were garbled transmissions stating some form of treachery was afoot here, at Chondax. Yet, for all these massacres inflicted upon the Scars, not every ambush ended in victory for the Hydra. On Femus IV, where, if one's acolytes may recall from earlier, the 5th Legion Reconnaissance Force had been dispatched to scout for reasons behind the loss of the Brotherhood of the Talon, the situation was upended, at least initially. Fearing something sinister was occurring, the White Scars demonstrated more cautiousness than their kin had elsewhere. A ploy by the Alpha Legion to lure them into a trap with distress signals sent with Alpha Legion codes was quickly turned against the would-be attackers. Warriors of the Falcon's Claws proved easily the equal of the Alpha Legion, and a battle of stealth and silent murder unfolded, with prey coming to match predator in guile and lethality. Painfully aware of the danger of engaging such a cunning foe, the 5th Legion maintained the initiative by using their jet bikes to rapidly redeploy, falling back and mounting lightning counterattacks as the Alpha Legion, now wrong-footed, reinforced their position around their precious beacon. As one of the final targets of the cleansing campaign, the planet Bifrost was, at the time of the Hydra's rising, playing host to a sizable force of White Scars. 8 Brotherhoods and attached Exertus Imperialis forces that included detachments of the Chauranid Sentinels, as well as elements from the Silent Sisterhood. Bifrost had proven to be a welcome challenge for the White Scars. The Ice World had seen the Orcs dig fortified dens to shelter from the cutting gales that scoured its frozen surface. While the jetbike riders of the Scars had developed keen skills in flying through the storms to purge the glacial plains of the Orcs, they had overall been less effective in the combat taking place in the warrens beneath. For this, the 5th Legion had leveraged the skills of the Charonite Sentinels to force the Orcs to the surface. The cold Exertus siege masters deployed melter charges to excavate great shafts into the Orc tunnels before bathing the Xenos below in phosphex. Driven to the ice fields in panicked flight from the crawling death, the Orcs could then be hunted at the leisure of the Brotherhoods. Under the command of Tsalman Khan, the White Scars retained the use of deep-range patrols of the ice wastes, ever vigilant of Orc remnants that could gather and produce a new alien threat. By a bizarre twist of fate, these patrols instead happened upon a full battalion of Alpha Legion Astartes, clearly marshalling for war. The second of the major hidden bases the Legion had constructed within the Chondax system. In a snap decision, and clearly unwilling to allow the benefit of shock to be surrendered, The Alpha Legion dispatched jet bike squadrons in pursuit of the White Scars, with explicit orders to silence the 5th Legion scouts, lest their presence be revealed. In this, however, the 20th were sorely outmatched. No jet bike riders across the 18 legions could match the White Scars for skill or control, and the Alpha Legion were swiftly outplaced by the fleeing Scars. Salman Khan, voxed by the approaching scouts as soon as they were within communications range, had sufficient time to abandon his base of operations and escape the Alpha Legion. This would have come at the cost of sending a transmission to the Khagan about the traitor attacks. None within his force could countenance such a thing. The White Scars on Bifrost resolved that a transmission must be sent, hurled into the blizzard of comms traffic flooding the system, and that ground would be held until they had succeeded. Chondax Prime was spared Alpha Legion boots, but against the core world of the White Scars operation, they deployed a wholly more sinister weapon: misinformation. In 7 years, a great many and terrible events had escaped the White Scars' knowledge thanks to the designs of the War Master and the activities of the 20th Legion. The Khagan knew naught of the Interrex compliance, the Council of Nicaea, the burning of Prospero, the Istvan III atrocity, or the Dropside Massacre. The sheer revelation of these events threw more strife and discord into the White Scars' command echelon than any actual Alpha Legion attack, and the 20th knew this well. To throw Astartes against the Khagan was to give him an enemy he could fight. Why bother, as right now he was wrestling with the demons of loyalty, honor, duty, and common sense. The foundation of the lived reality of the Primarch and his sons had been upended. Brother had killed brother. The galaxy was aflame. All was cast into lies and madness. The first words to reach the ears of the Khagan were those of Horus Lupercal. Again, something deliberately arranged by the Alpha Legion. They spoke of a warped and indeed carefully prepared tale of the renegade Leman Russ slipping his collar and raining death upon Jagatai's beloved brother Magnus, rendering Prospero to ashes, and cruelly annihilating the 15th Legion Thousand Sons. This had prompted Horus to launch a civil war born of justice for the murdered Magnus. It was a lie quite devastating in its sheer believability. The open hostility of the Wolf King towards the Cyclops was legendary, and was often discussed in Jagatai's own meetings with his close brother Magnus. The brutality of Russ's Legion was likewise renowned. That they had butchered their cousins was, although shocking, devastatingly plausible. Horus now summoned the Khagan to his side, pleading with his brother to join him in bringing Russ and his traitorous rabble to justice, in the name of all that was good and just, in the hope for the Imperium. Yet, for all the cunning of Horus, for all the carefully balanced and calculated wording of his missive, his was not the only one to reach the ears of the 5th Primarch. Had it been, it is plausible that the Ordu of Jagatai would have ridden hard for the War Master's side, damning the Imperium for what it had done to lost Magnus, and warring in the name of the Thousand Sons betrayed. Word, however, also came to Jagatai from Rogal Dorn, Primarch of the Imperial Fists and Praetorian of Terra. The 7th Primarch spoke of the duplicity of Horus Lupercal, of his grand heresy, of the massacre of 3 whole legions, of the death of Ferus Manus. He ordered all loyal to the Imperium to gather upon Terra, with him, that the traitorous War Master may be resisted, and his wicked aims of supplanting the Emperor and ruling the galaxy as a great and terrible Dark King. Jagatai faced 2 paths, 2 terrible choices, 2 woeful reckonings. Either his steadfast sibling had betrayed him, or his own father had. Should he side with Brotherhood or with Empire, To join with Horus would clearly tip the hand of the conflict unfolding in the favor of the War Master. This much was obvious. But to side with Dorne, to muster with the distant Imperium and its detached, seemingly uncaring Emperor, that would grant the Loyalists a fighting chance in resisting the hordes of Horus. It is beyond impossible for us mortals, so removed from this epoch by the ravages of time, to possibly comprehend what warred within the mind of Jagatai at this moment in time. There were a great many of his brothers who came, within a short period, face to face with the scales of fate, presented with the horrors of betrayals. Magnus upon Prospero, Ferris upon Istvan V, Gilliman upon Kalth, Sanguinius upon Cygnus. The Khan, like his brothers, was not permitted to undertake these deliberations upon the battlefield. Those previously mentioned had enemies they could smite, threats they had been created to counter. Not so, at this moment, Jagatai Khan. The Warhawk of Chogoris was forced to debate in seclusion, with only the dreams of astropaths and the memories of kinship to set his course by. It is not for us to cast judgment upon his deliberations. One sincerely hopes that such monumental decisions never come to rest on one's own shoulders, or any who should be parsing this record. It was the Alpha Legion that made the choice for him, deciding to launch one last attempt to wrest the course of events onto a course they wished them to take. With madness engulfing the Chondak system, and suspicions percolating within his senior Astartes, Jagatai Khan was finally given an enemy to face. So unforeseen was the Alpha Legion's emergence in the system that it went nigh unnoticed, at least by the majority of the Fifth Legion. By the time news had reached the ears of the Khagan, there were already 50 Alpha Legion ships detected in system. Within minutes, that number had doubled, and then tripled. Dozens of ships continued to appear, translating from the warp with an accuracy born of previously deployed navigational beacons. Within the hour, well over 1,000 ships bearing the ident tags of the Hydra had taken position in a narrow volume between Chondax's binary star pair and the outer companion star. They ran the full spectrum of warships, from lighter destroyers to heavier cruisers to mainline battleships bristling with active weapons batteries. In sheer tonnage and sheer quantity, they hopelessly outmatched the fleet of the White Scars, claiming, as the Fifth Legion did, less than 700 vessels, almost all of which were smaller and lighter than the warships now ranged against them. Across billions of kilometers of space, a standoff emerged. Yet no communications were exchanged between the two armadas. Battle lines were drawn, yet no condemnations were issued, no threats displayed. The hours stretched on as more and more astrotelepathic missives assaulted the minds of the Khagan psykers. Each decoded communion only muddled the waters further. Some declared in support of Terra and her Praetorian, the Lord Dorne, others for the War Master and his seemingly righteous revolt against tyranny. Each stellar redeployment of the White Scars was mirrored precisely by the Alpha Legion blockade. The Khagan was still utterly unaware of the Alpha Legion's role in the Chondax campaign. Those White Scars that had been murdered by the hands of the 20th were silent in their graves, and the years of sabotage, incomprehensible at best. As Jagatai mused upon his legion's future aboard the Swordstorm, a dreadful tension continued to build, one that anticipated violence, yet was aware of the awful consequences of it. When the storm broke, it hit with the fury of summer lightning, and for the speed with which the Fifth Legion was legendary. The Khagan had made a choice. His fleet coursed forth behind the Sword Storm, a sudden blade thrust at a single point along the Alpha Legion's blockade. The 20th Legion fleet attempted to alter its formation to counter the move, amassing squadrons of heavy cruisers to defend against what appeared, to them, an incompetent and rash assault by the White Scars. Unbeknownst to even the well-informed Alpha Legion, however, this was the beginning of what the legionaries of the Khagan referred to as a Sandered Zhao, a tactic born of the nomadic tribe that roamed their homeworld's grassy plains. It was to prove as deadly in the cold void of Chondax as it had upon the fields of Cho'Goris. The Swordstorm, Gloriana class, remained at the vanguard, a flagship rebuilt to Jagatai's specifications. Blade proud, fast as any light cruiser, yet even its formidable speed was outstripped by the 5th Legion's destroyer squadrons and corvette pickets. As the ships flew into range of their opposing screening squadrons, they simply opened fire without any formal challenge. The total weight of shell and shot that left several Alpha Legion picket ships hulks in the void was returned in kind. Followed, indeed, by White Scar's cruisers in the wake of the destroyers, once more opening fire, their gunnery officers having calculated firing solutions as soon as humanly possible. A deadly game of tit-for-tat emerged. The screening vessels had done their work, and now the Hydra's slower and heavier cruisers slew into position, readying their broadsides. The clash escalated quickly. No side could claim decisive advantage despite the ferocity on display. The momentum of the Scar's assault was appearing to bleed away, their headlong rush turning into an unfocused brawl. Clearly sensing this, the Alpha Legion deployed rearward reserves, piling onto the Scar's fleet to overwhelm them by sheer tonnage and numbers. An envelopment was seeming to be nearly certain. Elsewhere in the Chondax volume, the 5th Legion faced yet more desperate battles, a campaign expressed in the intense viciousness of the opponent. It was a dire change from the near-mindless brutality of the Orc. The Alpha Legion struck like vipers, intent murderous and honor wholly lacking. 100 petty wars erupted alongside the Khagan's void conflict. Chondax Prime was now all but abandoned in the wake of the evacuation, those that had sought to purge the Xenos taint now taking to the stars to fight for their lives. Those on worlds more distant were left with no easy means of evacuation or escape. Some even lacked the starships to join their Legion brothers. The Alpha Legion had no more need for secrecy. Previously occluded Alpha Legion hunter cadres concealed across the system moved upon their opponents opportunistically. Years of sabotage gave over to cruel decapitation strikes and harrowing assaults, with White Scar forces across the volume wiped out or solely pressed as they sought to flee to their Primarch's banner. On Hercon, 8 Brotherhoods of the Scars, with almost 10,000 Astartes between them, had gathered for transport embarkation, only to be struck by an assault force of Alpha Legion Spartan transports and main battle tanks. The Brotherhood of the Red Moon gave a final salute to their brothers before sallying forth on jetbike and landspeeder to delay the foe as much as possible to cover the retreat. Above Kren, but a few small frigates hung in orbit, now impressed into service to transport over 12,000 soldiery from both Legionnaires Astartes and Exertus Imperialis. By the telling of the Legion, all of these warriors drew lots, but not to see who would be evacuated, but rather for the honor of remaining behind to cover the retreat. Upon Femus IV, infamous site of the White Scar's first discovery of the 20th Legion's villainy, the small force that had begun the investigation was stranded with the departure of their cruisers from orbit earlier that day. They now found themselves trapped in a conflict that felt like it was being waged against their own shadows. The Alpha Legion garrison, now revealed to the Imperials, was staffed by some of their most skilled headhunters and infiltrators, who were now pitted against the whooping warriors of the Brotherhood of the Sable Wolf. Ul'Kanor Khan devised a plan to strike at the facility's macro beacon that the Alpha Legion guarded so jealously, assuming that anything the traitors were willing to sell their lives for was central to their sinister goals. leading his bodyguard Keshig in a brave assault, the White Scars unfortunately fell victim to a series of malicious traps laid by the 20th Legion's elite murderers. Caught in enfilading fire amongst the lava pools, Ulkanor Khan crashed his scimitar jetbike, plowing the crippled machine into the ash drifts. Unbowed, he bellowed a challenge to his foes, calling upon the commander of the emerging Alpha Legion to fight him in personal combat. Without a word, Cyrodiil Venn, the Alpha Legion praetor, motioned his Astartes to open fire. Ulkanor Khan was cut down. That we even know of this incident of total Imperial loss is thanks to the account of Venn himself, noted in the Codex Hydra with no small amount of pride. In the jungles of Ephihelicon, above which no White Scar starships of any class remained, the Alpha Legion fell upon the Loyalists, expecting a near-defeated foe bereft of hope. They were no doubt surprised when Marshal Argus Gigan and his Saturnine Rams, alongside the Brotherhood of the Pale Serpent, broke through their lines in an assault as heroic as it was nigh suicidal. The Imperial troops wrested control of a number of dropcraft from the Alpha Legion counterattacks, committing themselves to a desperate attempt to rejoin the Legion elsewhere in the system. These tales of bravery were numerous, though it leads one to assume that there were many more Imperial heroes who died far from anyone who could tell their tale. Yet, all was far from lost. In Chondak's prime high orbit, where the Khagan's fleet appeared to be on the cusp of being overwhelmed, its formation suddenly coalesced. It took on the point of the spear, a sword storm as its proud tip, an armored wedge of starships cast into the void. The final phase of the Zhao maneuver had begun, and it took the Alpha Legion utterly off guard. The sword storm struck the thinnest part of the encircling blockade, a cordon weakened by the rush the 20th Legion had mounted to encircle the White Scars by deploying their reserves. Suddenly, the fight in the void was upended. The sword storm was leading a blade that was shearing through the Alpha Legion line like a gladius through flesh. Unbeknownst to the Khagan, one of his prodigal sons was elsewhere performing a similar maneuver. Salman Khan, on Bifirst, had deployed his jetbikes and speeders in a wedge formation, aimed at the heart of the Alpha Legion, leading the Golden Keshig themselves to scatter ceramite armor with power lances and shatter the scions of the Hydra. Salman Khan was targeting the Alpha Legion commander, Malak Striga, reasoning it best to cut at least one of the Serpent's heads off, and in doing so, he had committed every warrior under his command to the endeavor. Astartes, Militia, and even the Sisters of Silence. Speed was their sole advantage, yet the enemy was as wicked as they were cunning. Consul Striga wrought before them a wall of warp-conjured flame, the Alpha Legionnaire having imbibed the forbidden knowledge of sorcery. Several of his kindred were clearly acolytes, as the White Scars were now assailed with gouts of rancid flame and shrieking beams of impossible energy. That the Silent Sisterhood were present is perhaps the sole reason for their survival, a stroke of luck that borders on fate itself. Immune to the warpcraft of the Alpha Legion sorcerers, the Sisters fell upon the traitors, felling them one by one with their great swords. Knight Centura Morovin, wounded and exhausted from the battle, faced Malak Striga in single combat, but was, alas, no match for the Astartes, even bereft of his sorcery. Raising his spear to fell the Null Maiden, Striga was himself annihilated by the thunder hammer of Salman Khan. The death of their consul saw the Alpha Legion hurriedly, but professionally, withdraw. After the fall of Ulkanor Khan on Femus IV, the fate of the White Scars there felt equally dire. Few officers were left alive amongst the Brotherhood of the Sable Wolf. Indeed, their highest rankest officer was known as Munukoi, known in Low Gothic as the Black Hound, a Legion Moritat, ill-suited for command authority or the creation of anything approaching grand strategy. Little honor lay within this warrior's heart, and he had simply set out upon the wastes of Phemus with the sole objective of slaughtering as many Astartes of the Alpha Legion as he could manage before his inevitable death. His success, however, was quite profound, and not without merit. Each life, he claimed, led more and more of the Brotherhood to join him in the murder, and ultimately required the Alpha Legion to dispatch a high-ranking vigilator, known as the Interfector, to annihilate the Moritat. The merciless game of feline and rodent that emerged was as clinical as it was merciless. Ambush followed decapitation strike, followed ambush, and so on. As Munukoi lacked anything approaching the manpower or firepower he would require to assault the Alpha Legion fortress. The Moritat and his kin instead matched the headhunter teams in viciousness. The sheer irregularity of the fighting, coupled with the Scar's own penchant for less than meticulous tactical record keeping, makes a full picture of this hidden war impossible to construct. What can be established, however, is that the Black Hound and the Infrafector clashed, and as they did so, in the spheres above, Jagatai had achieved a decisive breakthrough in the Void War. The Zhao is Chogorian for chisel. The Primarch's ships had achieved its fulsome potential. The wedge they plowed through the Alpha Legion vessels had sundered the traitor lines, destabilizing a massive zone of control that the White Scars only pushed their advantage into further and further. It was a breakout, and in doing so, the Primarch's attention did not turn to fulsome destruction. He did not give halt to battle, even as the odds were balanced between the two fleets, but decided to make best speed out of the combat volume, in order to proceed to the far side of the system that his ships may make translation into warp space. Their route, however, would take them past Phemus IV, and upon that moon's ice, the next chapter of the Battle for Chondax was about to unfold. This video and this channel were made possible thanks to the very kind donations and support from my Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to help support the channel, head on over to patreon.com/oculusimperia. If you'd like to receive more updates about the channel and any future videos, you can contact me or follow me on Twitter at Oculus Imperia. Otherwise, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know your feedback, and as ever, thank you very much for watching.